This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, Mr. Durham. Crazy day in Greensboro yesterday. Some surprises, some absolute blowouts, some games that you went, wow, would have never thought that. But, man, it sets up for a big, big Thursday in the Gate City.
Yeah, quarterfinals start at noon over on ESPN2. Sean McDonough and Corey Alexander get the day going with Syracuse and the top seed Virginia. Oh, wait. The Orange? Yes, they destroyed NC State. Big win, 89-68 yesterday. We'll get to that. We'll also get to Miami and a win as well. The Canes beating Clemson 67-64 last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather. But the story, Pack, at the tournament was the arrival of the Blue Bloods, right, on Wednesday. And Duke flexed and Carolina flexed. The Blue Devils out of the 10 seed, out of the 10 spot, got another unbelievable performance from Mark Williams. As good a performance as a Duke freshman has had, a big, mind you, a big. I don't consider Zion Williamson a big other than statue only. That guy's a forward swing. But Mark Williams was amazing last night around the rim in the win over Louisville. And then last night, Carolina, without Garrison Brooks in the lineup, rode Walker Kessler. Of all the names you had in December to be a star in Carolina's first ACC tournament game of the year, where would Walker Kessler have been on your list? But he was the guy that helped them last night, set the tone early. Carolina, a big winner over Notre Dame, 101-59. It's tied for the third biggest margin of victory in ACC history.
By the way, that game, 101-59, wasn't that close either. I mean, Notre Dame closed on an 8-0 run. Just saying. I mean, when you get beat by six touchdowns, and we're talking ACC hoops, that is not a good thing. So, nevertheless, I thought there were multiple storylines from yesterday. Obviously, the nightcap was about the Blue Bloods showing up and doing their thing. But I thought Miami, with six scholarship players, finding a way to win back-to-back in 24 hours was remarkable. Yep. And Clemson suffers their first quad three loss of the year. Comes at a bad time because that's going to cost them on Sunday when the seedings come out. And the other storyline was Syracuse. Me was kind of a 50-50 game. Syracuse wore them out. Syracuse looked good. Buddy Boeheim lighting it up from everywhere and kind of solidified their argument about being on the correct side of the bubble. We'll get into all these storylines over the next 3 hours. but I thought every game kind of provided you something yesterday, which to me as a fan, I like that because it's like, hey, you have a preconceived notion of what you think is going to happen. Very seldom is that the case. But I thought every game yesterday gave you something to think about. Syracuse, hey, you know what? They play like that again. Can they beat Virginia? Possibility. Miami, where'd this come from, right? I mean, Clemson with the early exit again, given their futility in the ACC tournament regarding their history. But a great story. In fact, Jim Larranaga was on with us yesterday. Again, supplying the fact that when a coach comes on this show on game day, it's a W. Guess who's coming back today? Just give you a subtle hint. Yeah, you want to win? I know where the place to go. You go to Packer and Durham on game day, life is good. And then last night, you know, Duke-Louisville, again, somebody on this show picked Duke to win the game, but I didn't think they would win that easily. And Duke looked the part. You know, and Louisville, with that crazy run at the end of the first half, went from getting blown out to taking the lead. You're like, oh, yeah, what's going to happen there? But I thought Duke in the second half was out of sight. We talked about Mark Williams, how great he was. And North Carolina flexed to the point where that was a case of a team that's really playing well, shooting the ball lights out, everybody feeling the vibe, and another team that looked like they were ready for the season to end. And I think we're going to get some of those games around the country where you have a team that's just kind of worn out. And, you know, Notre Dame with the emotion of what happened the night before with Wartz making the great shot and the great comeback win with a 17-2 run, they just looked like they were worn out. And then it was just like, ugh, we're just getting pounded on the board. So I thought every game kind of provided you a cool storyline, which, like I said, sets up for a really, really interesting Thursday in Greensboro.
But let's be honest, Pac. The one we had the most questions about coming into the tournament yesterday were the Blue Devils. Why? Because the last look the last look Saturday night in Chapel Hill was not good, right? But last night, the message had been delivered by the Hall of Fame head coach. I mean, the reality is Duke showed up last night and Duke delivered a message. Yeah, Louisville made a run, but a Cards team that now, quite frankly, we'll see where this falls as the weekend unfolds. But let's be honest, the Blue Devils rode Mark Williams, 9 of 14, 23 points, 19 rebounds. And, you know, in all honesty, I thought he was the guy. Matthew Hurt was good, but Mark Williams was the guy last night for the Blue Devils.
Mark Williams, 19 rebounds by a freshman in an ACC tournament game. The most since Dirt. Since Dirt. There's a since Dirt. You're going to hear a couple of these today, by the way. Since Dirt. If you're a freshman, you've been in this league, nobody's had 19 in a tournament game until last night. And how good's number 15 going to be if he wants to hang around a couple years, huh? How good's that dude going to
be? Around
a
couple of years. He's going to be around at least one more because he's going to have to be in the weight room. But, I mean, the idea that this kid who has come on for them and you know, Matt Lieberman, who works on our staff, sent the question last night, has there ever been anybody in this league who, you know, was kind of an afterthought going into February and emerged as a major piece in March? And I sent back a note saying maybe Sam Perkins in 1981 after Pete Budko sprained his ankle for Carolina, but every other freshman big has kind of been as advertised from almost the jump. But look at the list this guy's on. I mean, Ralph Sampson? Marvin Bagley III went off in Brooklyn. Luol Deng was sensational at the tournament in 04. Rasheed Wallace and Mike Jaminski. That's the list. It's a pretty strong list now. Think about it. Matthew Hurt, by the way, had 20, but Duke won going away last night. And, I, you know, here's the deal. You tell me they got it in them.
Well, got it in them for what? To win them all?
To play on,
Is that what you're asking me? No.
Do they have it in them?
I'm going to tell you. No, I don't think they do. I don't think they can win five. And if they do, I'll be the first one to tell you. Awesome. Congratulations. But, you know, we're going to have our picks later on. I'll tell you how I think it's going to go tonight. You know, here's the other cool thing about tonight. We've got two games in the nightcap. Duke, Florida State, North Carolina, Virginia Tech. You know what's great about these two games? We haven't seen them. We have not. Welcome to COVID basketball. We are now into day three of the ACC tournament, and we're going to have two games tonight under the lights, if you will, nightcap, involving four teams, and the two games we have yet to see played this season. If that isn't COVID basketball, I'm not sitting in the basement right now. And both of them have the chance to be tremendous games. Have the chance.
Oh, yeah. No question. No question. Let's go to Coach K after the game last night. He started discussing Duke's path.
Our sport needs this tournament. It's really the best sporting event in the United States, because it takes up really an entire month, because all these really the tournament has already started because of all the conference tournaments. So in some respects, everybody's in it, you know, because some of these one bid league, but every team has a chance, and that's not happening. It's the most fair tournament. It's the most fair tournament. And so right now we're in the tournament. You know, we have to keep winning in order to advance to next week. But, you know, when you're in your conference tournament, you are in the NCAA tournament. You know, you're just maybe not one of those 68 teams right now. And you have to look at it that way. But it's the fairest championship by far. And that's why it's pure, and it encompasses every part of our country, and it's magnificent, and we've been fortunate to be a part of it. I don't know what, 36 times.
Coach is 1,000% right. He's 1,000% right. Yeah. You know, and you may not be one of the 68 that are perceived to be in, but you got a chance to do something about it this week. And Duke's got to win five. Right. Well, guess what? They've now checked the box twice. And you ask me, can they win five? Could they? They could. Do I think they're going to? I don't. But that doesn't matter what I think. Mm. They get a chance to prove it. They own, you know, the ball literally is in their court to prove that, guess what? We belong. And if they go WWW in the next 3 days, they're in. But they're going to be tested tonight for sure. I promise you.
All right. You mentioned the Blue Blood showed up last night. Not only did Duke win and look impressive, late night in Greensboro at the Coliseum last night, North Carolina went on a 52-4 run in the second half. Pack 5-2.
You sure about that? 52-4. They scored 52-4 in the second half. I'm not sure that's right, but nevertheless, BPI tells me when a team goes on a run like that, they have an 88% chance to win the game. That's what I know.
Okay, it's 37-2, not 52-4. Sorry.
Whatever. I mean, it's
37-2. Yeah.
Whatever it is, it is. All I know is it took. I walked the dogs twice by the time Notre Dame scored. That was just one of those deals that North Carolina was out of sight. And Notre Dame. Twice. I did. I walked the dogs twice. And Notre Dame still was stuck at the same number when I got back. But listen, there are nights where, you know what? Hey, it's not our night. And North Carolina, when they shoot the ball well, you know they're going to be great on the glass. Man, they were out of sight. And that was just called woodshed is what that was. And, hey, for Notre Dame, kind of a weird year for them, right? You thought they'd kind of turned the corner a little bit in early February where they've always been good. They just kind of hit the wall. The great comeback win against Wake Forest. They closed that one at home, knocking off Florida State, which was a damaging loss to the Noles as they dropped to a 2 seed. Kind of some good and some bad this year with Mike Bray's crew. But last night, you got totally beaten down by a much better team that's really starting to hit on all cylinders. North Carolina looked terrific. Yeah. And, Wes, how weird is it that the last time we saw North Carolina in that building, they were getting run by Syracuse. And, I mean, woodshedded the other way. Their worst tournament loss.
In the same game, by the way. In the same game.
Their worst tournament loss. And the next time they show up in the building, they have their largest tournament win since Dirt. I mean, those are back-to-back since Dirts for North Carolina. Crazy. But they look good last night now. And that sets the scene against the Hokies. As I mentioned earlier, you get two games tonight we have yet to see play this season. North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Duke, Florida State. Should be outstanding.
Yeah. Amazing stats last night from that game. But here's the other thing. I'll just quickly before we get to the break here, because we got a busy show for you. The idea that we saw two young guys last night, Pack, and I tweeted this out. I texted it to a couple people last night. I mean, we saw Mark Williams put on a show. And every once in a while at the ACC tournament, they're freshmen who, as I said a moment ago with Williams, they're guys who come in with a five-star and a high expectation and all those things. And, yeah, Mark Williams and Walker Kessler were highly thought-of recruits, or else they wouldn't be at Duke and Carolina. But it's been a slower process for a variety of reasons, probably, for those two kids. But here's the deal. Last night, while you're enjoying the 2021 tournament, you got a pretty good look at two of the marquee players that are going to be in the ACC next year. In Mark Williams and Walker Kessler. I mean, when you think about it, look at these two kids last night and appreciate the hard work they have put in to become more polished at this level in their freshman season. It's, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with seeing these bigs that show up and play the 1 year and move on, but, you know, the old school idea of you come in, you work hard, you go through the drills. It was nice to see, you know, Mark Williams talk about his work with Nate James last night in the post game with Allison Williams. Walker Kessler's done the same thing with Steve Robinson, you can tell, in Carolina's workshop. That's the nice thing about seeing two young guys who are going to be a major issue, not an issue, a major issue next year in this conference when it comes to ACC basketball.
I hope they stay, Wes. It's kind of, it's
Pack,
like
where are they going? Come on.
This is why I always say it. I don't want – I am being selfish. I'm a college basketball fan. I'm selfish. I hope they all stay. I do. because they have the potential of being awesome. Not good, awesome.
Yeah.
And you could already see the upside in the development, as you pointed out, and they're light years ahead of where they were 2-3 months ago, which is, number one, great coaching and guys buying in and doing the work. Yeah. And the potential of those two dudes are through the roof. Again, I hope that as a college basketball fan sitting on the couch that we can enjoy their efforts for at least another year. I hope. I pray.
There you go. By the way, busy shows, I told you. Jay Billis will be here at 8 o'clock. Jen Hoover is the head women's basketball coach at Wake Forest and friend of the show. She'll be here at 8:45. The 9 o'clock hour features Robert Joseph Cremins Jr., born on the 4th of July. The great Bobby Cremins will be here at 9:15. We hope.
He'll be here.
Technology.
No, you know what? He's going to get a two-hour head start to figure out how to start a Zoom meeting. So I think that he can surround himself like he did at Georgia Tech with great assistance and figure that thing out.
Mark, what are you doing, Mark? 9:30, just to tell you that this show now carries some weight among the ACC. Jim Larrañaga, who was here yesterday and then found out that anybody that's appeared on game day is undefeated and then went out and won the game, back here today.
Yeah, gotta go back for more. That's how it works.
Back here today. Well, you know why? Because some coaches are superstitious.
Well, that's why. Roy Williams was on with us a couple weeks ago and said, hey, if I win this game, I'll be back next time. Well, their next game was Marquette. He didn't show up. Neither did their team. I'm just saying.
I ain't saying, but I'm saying, right?
Nell Fortner was on here the day they were going down to Tallahassee on game day, and she was hemming and hawing, having some fun with us. And I said, hey, you know, you win the game, you'll come back anytime you want on game day.
Yep.
I'm just saying. You can connect the dots however you want.
I'm just saying.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. It's a Thursday. Big, big day in the Gate City. Good games beginning at noon. Cannot wait. But, Wes, it started yesterday at noon with what I thought was going to be the most interesting game of the day with Syracuse and NC State. And I tell you what now, the Orange looked the part. No disrespect to the Wolfpack and Kevin Keats, but, man, Buddy Boeheim making everything he looks at. Syracuse jumped out to a nice lead, and I was really, really impressed with Syracuse yesterday.
Well, you walked out of here saying, if you know, we said this on Monday or Tuesday, that if Syracuse makes shots, they're going to be a problem. Well, guess what? They went in there and made shots yesterday. Shot 57% from the floor, hit 14 of 29 from three. Buddy Boeheim owned six of them. He was 6 of 12 from 3, and be honest with you, the Orange made this look real easy. They are a powder keg when they can shoot it, Pack. I mean, look at this one.
Buddy had 20 at the half, and I thought he was going to score 40. I really did. I was like, man, you know what? NC State, Buddy Boeheim, when he gets that vibe going, it seems like a lot of guys are shooting lights out already in Greensboro. Buddy Boeheim can do that to you. And he went off, and NC State really didn't have any answers yesterday. I just thought Syracuse, it was really such an impressive performance that when that game ended, I'm like, I'm telling you right now, Syracuse gives me that the rest of the way. They will be a problem for Virginia today. And I know they only played one time during the regular season, and Virginia beat them 81-58 back in January. But January feels like a million years ago, right? I mean, good and bad for teams. And if Syracuse has that kind of effort, I'm telling you, this first game could be really, really interesting in Greensboro. But they're going to have to prove it.
No, I agree. I agree with you on that. I think the thing to remember about the January game is the rebound differential. Virginia won it by 13. You know, and Syracuse only hit five threes in the ball game. I mean, so you know, we'll get to kind of how the ball game shapes up. But the idea about what the Orange did, now that what happened yesterday can be contagious, but it also requires a really good start against a disciplined team like the Cavaliers. So we'll see what Syracuse has. But here's the Orange. And Coach Boeheim, by the way, all those quad fours he was talking about the other day, he opened up the quad four case on Allison Williams after the game yesterday. And, you know, we laughed about it with Sean McDonough. But, hey, here they are in the quarterfinals. Pack is the eighth seed and trying to make a statement, right?
Well, it was a great day if you're a Syracuse fan. Number one, your team won and looked the part. That's the most important thing. The second thing is you also got some help yesterday. Because according to all the expert bracketologists, Xavier was a team that was in front of Syracuse as far as, hey, we need to get in front of them. And they lost. They blew a 19-point lead in their conference tournament. Mm. And so that was, I mean, you could not have scripted a better day if you were a Syracuse fan. So the only way to absolutely eliminate the conversation is you win today. You win today, there are no questions asked. And I still think Syracuse has a shot. I really do. So I'm not a bracketologist. All I know is they looked really, really sharp yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting to watch the momentum of the tournament, isn't it? Miami's got some of it. Isaiah Wong went for 20 again. The Canes, of course, a winner yesterday. They beat Clemson 67-64, the final. He was 8 of 11 from the floor, was Isaiah Wong. They become the first ever 13 seed
since
to reach the quarterfinals.
Since Dirt.
Yeah, he was sensational yesterday and got some help. Willie Harrington out of Memphis, Tennessee, came off the bench. I mean, look, Miami was getting contributions from a lot of guys. Anthony Walker hit some threes. Nasir Brooks played strong inside. There's Dane Gack. The six scholarships were unveiled yesterday, but great effort by Wong.
Just a great effort by the team. Wes, six scholarship players. You played the day before. Clemson playing well. Rested, leads 21-9. Yep. I mean, everything was there for Miami to go, man, it's been a great run, right? But they grinded. And that 17-2 run in the second half, catch you later, catch us if you can. And for Clemson, I mean, really, the Clemson Tigers in the ACC tournament, it is amazing when you look at the numbers of Clemson. It doesn't matter where they're seated. They could be a one seed, didn't win the tournament. They could be a 15 seed, not going to win the tournament. I don't know what it is. It's almost as if, you know what, the gods have bestowed upon you a great football program, so understand your fate in hoops. I don't know what it is, but the Tigers, I looked it up this morning because I was just curious. When Clemson is the better or higher seed in the ACC tournament.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
They are 12.
You looked this up?
Because I was, you know, I always, my mind works crazy ways. As the better seed, which is not often in the 68 years of the tournament, Clemson is 12-16.
Oh.
12. No, but wait. Oh. But wait. But wait. I'm going to really put it in perspective. Prepare yourself, Wes. Okay. Clemson has won 21 ACC tournament games all time. 21.
Yes, all right. That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Let this marinate when I'm about ready to tell you. Their arch rival, South Carolina. South Carolina has been out of the ACC for 50 years. 50. Clemson has won 8 more ACC tournament games than South Carolina. 8. And the Gamecocks have been out of the league for 50 years. That is all I got to tell you. That's all I got to tell you. Here's the good news, Clemson fans. I got good news for Clemson fans. It's my understanding. Two things. Number one, you're going to get the pro day coming up at 10 a.m. this morning on ACC Network for football. And number two, Dabo had a scrimmage, and apparently like 5 or 6 of the early signee freshmen were lights out. So that's the good news. Bad news, ACC tournament to one and done again. Good news, spring football is rocking and rolling. But the Tigers do go to the NCAA tournament next week.
Hang on now. The other good news is they're going to call your name Sunday.
That's right. I said they're going to the NCAA tournament next week.
Okay. They're going to call your name Sunday. Okay. That's you know, on the heels of yesterday, the good news is they're going to call your name Sunday. Yeah, Dabo and all of them, they're fine. We know that. They're fine.
They're going to be good.
But they're going to call your name Sunday. Yeah. It's It's weird at best, isn't it?
Well, it's brutal. It's brutal at best. Brutal at best.
I was trying to be nice.
I'm being transparent, and I'm an alum, so I can say it. 21 up, 67 down, and 68 ACC. The only year they ever played in the ACC tournament and didn't go home with an L was last year because we called the whole thing off. That's it. That's what it is. But you know what?
Ironically, they beat Miami.
Yeah.
They beat Miami to end up playing Florida State.
And old Jim Larranaga is coming back for more today. He's like, you know what? That superstitious thing worked out pretty good. I think I'm going to go try those good boys again in the morning. So there you go.
And Jay Billis is having an anniversary show today, too. Jay Billis was with us on the Thursday in Greensboro when we were on the way to shutting it all down.
Yep. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget 9:34 a.m. And we're talking to Commissioner John Swofford. And I asked that question. Commissioner, it's 9:34 a.m. Are we going to play basketball
today? Are we playing?
Yes, we are. And lo and behold, we got out there for the warm-up drill, a pep band, a couple hundred people in the stands, and the world shut down at high noon. Seemed that way.
Yep.
Crazy.
Sure did.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
How about Billis and Shulman tonight? Instead of naming Mark Williams and Walker Kessler somebody's corporate play, I think it was Zaxby's player of the game on last night's broadcast. How about Billis just haul out and go, you know, back in the day.
Holly Farms, falling in the traditional footsteps of Holly Farms players of the game.
I want one of those.
Somebody will know the answer to that. Oh, somebody will look up and see if Holly Farms is still in business. I don't think they are. I don't know. No earthly idea.
By the way, if you want the latest information on the ACC tournament and you're away from your television, or you can always log on to the ACC app and log on to the ACC Champ Hub. You can do it, by the way, straight from a desktop to accchamphub.com. Exclusive content, analysis, and insight, chalk talks, game stats, and more for coverage of the 68th annual ACC basketball tournament. All right, so Florida State and Duke hadn't played this year. Carolina, Virginia Tech haven't played this year. What do we expect tonight? The Duke-Knowles situation, Pack? We're supposed to have that game, I think, January the 2nd. Didn't happen, so here we go. Nothing like no time like the present, right?
Well, here's what I think. First of all, Florida State cannot be happy. That's number one. And the reason I say that is the last time they played, they blew an opportunity to be the ACC regular season champions. And they went to Notre Dame and laid an egg. So that's going to be fresh on the brain that the last time they played, they were not ready to go and got punked. So I expect Florida State to be absolutely dialed in tonight. That's what I expect.
Yeah.
Number two, Duke is playing now with some momentum after they stunk it up in Chapel Hill, knowing, hey, we're here to win five. We got to win five to get in. Two up, three to go. Next man up is Florida State. I wonder, Wes, at what point in time, for two teams in particular, Duke and Miami today, do the legs start to feel it, perhaps in the second half? Especially Duke. And the reason I say that is Florida State's going to hit you in waves with athletes and players. That's the way Leonard plays. And I just think Florida State, if they're not really good tonight, I will really be surprised. I will really be surprised. I know Duke's been dialed in. Mike Krzyzewski always has his guys ready to play for the tournament. It's always meant something to him. And obviously it really means something this go around. Because they got to win out. So the intrigue factor is a 10 on a 10 scale. But that's what I expect. I wonder at what point in time does Duke hit somewhat of a wall having to play now their third consecutive day. Maybe they don't.
Right.
I don't know. There's no crowd, so that's not going to carry you. So this is all about, hey, they'll want to. And you know what Florida State's going to deliver. So that's what I at least perceive that I'm going to see tonight beginning at 6:30.
No, I'm with you on that part. It also begs the second ball game of the night session tonight. Virginia Tech and Carolina haven't played. And you touched on this a moment ago. I mean, Mike Young and the Hokies have had a really good year. There's an interesting wrinkle to this in that we haven't seen Virginia Tech. We haven't seen Virginia Tech in a couple of weeks here, Pac. Do we know what to expect? And I'm not sure we do. The last time we saw them come off a pause, Virginia Tech ran into Georgia Tech in their own building, and the Jackets went up and down the floor on them. Well, last night, Carolina was kind of going up and down the floor, you know?
Well, we saw Virginia Tech do that to Wake Forest and beat them by 100. But all I can do is tell you what Mike Young told us the other day, and that was his team's playing, practicing, and they're enthusiastic, and they are ready to go. And then that's not an opinion. That's coach talking. He sees them every day. Yeah. Another fantastic game. I mean, North Carolina's bigs are a problem. When the heels make threes, they're a real problem. So, like I said, if you're not entertained by those two tonight, I'm not sure I can help you, because you got two games that we have not seen this year. I mean, how often can you make that statement? I don't care what league you're in, that you're going to go to the quarters and, hey, these are four good teams, and I got no idea what we're going to see because I've never seen the game before. Well, that's what we got. So it's brand spanking new in Greensboro.
Second straight year that the Hokies and Tar Heels have met. Carolina has won all three of the previous postseason meetings. For Duke and Florida State, this is their first meeting since the finals a couple of years ago in Charlotte, Pac. Remember, Virginia was the team that Florida State knocked off. Duke beat Carolina in the semifinals that night in Charlotte and then won a 10-point ball game on that Saturday night at the Spectrum Center. And now they meet again, Seminoles and the Blue Devils do. Fourth time in the ACC tournament. Could be a really interesting ball game. Mark Williams now, this is going to be quite a test. Like Koprivica and that crowd inside tonight, Ingham. I mean, that's a different story tonight in the pivot for both not only Mark Williams, but also Walker Kessler, who's going to, whether Garrison Brooks plays or not, I think, Keve Aluma is a handful. I mean, that's a guy that's a handful to deal with because of his ability to stretch the floor with you.
Kind of scary that Brooks didn't even play last night. North Carolina was up 50 at one point in time. You heard me, half a hundred. Mm. Wow.
Yep.
Could be good.
All right, let's move to this afternoon. We talk about UVA and Syracuse. We told you what happened during the course of the regular season. I think it'll be interesting. I think that ball game is going to get really, really interesting. Syracuse has shot the lights out, Pac. I mean, that was impressive yesterday. Now, can you sleep through the night and come back with the same vibe? We'll find out. And how are the Cavaliers lined up and ready to go? Top seed, the whole bit? Tony Bennett's played from the front pretty well in this event.
Their win at Louisville was impressive because they knew what was at stake after what Florida State didn't do in South Bend. And Virginia went out and grabbed it and won it. But they can't be satisfied with that, Wes. Now we really get to the heavy lifting. Now we're into the ACC tournament and postseason play. And Virginia's been a little spotty down the stretch. I even go back to when we had Tony Bennett on and we talked about their game against Miami where he sat Huff and Kihei Clark to begin the second half because he wanted the energy and the focus. Well, they better have both the energy and the focus because Syracuse will still play with the edge today because Jim Boeheim will be able to say, guys, we need one more, right? I mean, he'll spin whatever he wants to the media. But one in that locker room, hey, guys, we go win this game. They can't stop us. They can't prevent us from being in the NCAA tournament. So the edgy part of this, I think, belongs to Syracuse. Plus, they got punked the first go-around against Virginia. So for Virginia, you said, Tony Bennett, they've been very comfortable when they got the number one beside their name. So, like I said, if you're not entertained by these matchups today, quite frankly, we can't help you because these are going to be four really fascinating games. And just like I said about yesterday, every game gave you an interesting storyline yesterday. My gut tells me that will happen again today in Greensboro.
Yeah, Georgia Tech-Miami is the second ball game of the afternoon session. They played on February the 20th, only meeting of the regular season. Jackets won by 27. Miami, by the way, that day shot 39%. Were out-rebounded by 9 and lost the turnover margin by 4. Michael DeVoe, who to me has kind of been an afterthought in Georgia Tech's run here down the stretch, had 29 that day Alvarado had 16, and Moses Wright had a double-double. Georgia Tech hit 11 threes at Coral Gables. So we will see. That's one of those that you just kind of go, uh-oh. How can that, you know, does that happen again based on Isaiah Wong the last 2 days? We'll ask Jim Larranaga when he joins us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Six scholarship players, third game in three days. Like I said with Duke, I worry about Miami's legs. I guarantee you Jim Larranaga got his guys off their feet ASAP after that game. It'll be a test today against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, the ACC Player of the Year will take the floor at 2:30 today, too, and that's Moses Wright, who surprised many with his run down the stretch. Well, what also might surprise you is that Moses Wright has a passion maybe that's bigger than basketball, and it's anime, the computerized animation, and it's a unique piece. In fact, if you go to his Twitter feed, his avatar is an anime character. Here is a look at Moses Wright and his passion for something other than hoops.
I started watching anime high school, my freshman year.
Moses loves watching cartoons.
If I were to be my own anime character, I would want to be a swordsman, not like an anime swordsman.
Oh my God, it's the most annoying thing ever. I'm not into it, it's not my cup of tea, but that's what he loved to do. Like, he's in love with that anime stuff.
Right over the top, look down below.
I want to be like one of those bad guys where he would, like, the main character would have to come back like two or three times to fight me before he actually wins.
When he dunks, he attacks that rim. I told our facilities guy, we need to make sure we have an extra backboard here or there just in case, because he literally tries to break the rim and backboard every time he dunks.
When we played Clemson at home, I caught it from the elbow and ripped and pointed to the bench because one of the assistant coaches told whoever was guarding me, no more dunks.
You kidding me? Double-fisted, Brian! Oh, my goodness!
I got that dunk and I was like, I pointed out, I was like, that was for you, basically.
Light for three.
Right at the horn.
There were some plays in the Duke game where I said some of our best offense was just shoot it, let Moses rebound and go dunk it back. There was no hype of him coming into college. There was no accolades for all district, or he wasn't on the recruiting boards all over the country and his name known. He admits that this is new. He's scared about it all because he's never been in this. He's never been in this spot before in his life.
I don't know. This is like one of the biggest accomplishments in my life right now. So this is amazing. This is an amazing feeling, really. And you just gotta keep going now as a team.
Player of the year.
Is it me or does he just seem kind of laid back? It's just kind of happening and it's weird, right? I mean, just a laid-back kid. Back to humbleness for sure, no doubt.
Well, we've had him on the show a couple times, and I tell you what, he is a matchup nightmare for everybody in this conference. Ooh. He is the ACC Player of the Year, and looks like he's just having fun playing the game, which is the most important thing.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Thursday, big, big day in the Gate City. Can't wait. Gets cranked up, high noon, tip it off. Let's let it go, boys. Speaking of, it's time for the smart people. We go to Bristol, and the voice of victory. He can't even deny it because his boys really looked good yesterday, and he doesn't want to get too excited.
I think he's wearing the orange,
but he
got
knows
the orange on today.
He got a chance.
Orange lumberjack.
Got and ironically, the school that Syracuse is playing wears the same colors, so. I'm not showing any favor.
Don't be a downer today, Voice of Victory. Oh, no, it's no, all not. About come the on, orange, baby. It looked like old school Syracuse running people out of the gym yesterday. Looked good.
Come on, man.
They did look good. Talk to me tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But anyway, on to True or False, which of course is brought to you by
Dish.
Thank you. On the first day of the tournament, we saw Duke beat BC by 36. Yesterday, as you mentioned, Syracuse beat NC State by 21, and Carolina beat Notre Dame by 42. Yeah. True or false, we'll see at least one more 20-point win for the remainder of the tournament.
True.
Remainder of the tournament, true.
True.
Yes, true. Somewhere along the way, somebody will throw a 20-burger on somebody. Yes.
Yeah. So I just think in this tournament, given what's at stake even next week, once it gets away from you, I could see a team going, okay, cool. We still got life next week. We're good. And we wanted to win today, but we didn't. And let's get out of here and get healthy. So, yeah, I think you're going to see at least one. You may see one today, as a matter of fact.
Wow. Okay, there's a call.
All right, just saying.
You got a vibe yet? You want to share your vibe, or what do you got? You just going to sit
maybe,
on that?
Maybe, okay. Maybe later when we make picks, I may give you a vibe on a blowout.
All right. True, I agree. There'll be at least one more, Josh.
Okay. Speaking of 20 points, Isaiah Wong, back-to-back 20 burgers in the ACC tournament. True or false, Mr. Wong will score a total of 20 more points in Greensboro.
True. True.
He will score 20 more. True.
They got six scholarship players. Somebody's got to score for Miami.
Well, I understand that, but today they're playing Georgia Tech.
I don't care who they're playing. He's going to have the ball in his hand.
Can win with 62 or can win with 82.
He's going to have the ball in his hand for 40 minutes. True.
I'll say false.
Guy's a player.
I'm going to say false. He's a player. I'm with you on the player part. I'm just saying 20. Somebody has to help sometime, too.
Well,
I'll say false.
I'll tell you what.
I'm not sure they win today, and I'm not sure he gets 20.
Let me tell you what.
He might get 30. Who knows?
Hey, Miami fans, let me clue y'all in on something. Everybody that you're looking at right now on the screen has yet to pick Miami to win a game in this tournament.
BPI true. On the screen, too?
True. BPI as well. All true, true, true. And we've been wrong.
Well done, Josh. Well done.
There you go. Brought to you by
Is BPI on the screen?
Dish.
No. But friends of BPI are on the screen.
That's right. Right, friends of BPI are on the screen based on what we keep hearing through the grapevine.
That's right.
Voice of victory.
All right,
guys, a couple more. Of course, it's tournament time now, but over the weekend, Tony Bennett secured his fifth ACC regular season title. True or false, Bennett will finish his career with at least 12 regular season ACC titles.
False.
That's significant because that's what Kay has.
False. He's going to win seven more? No disrespect, Tony Bennett. We love you, but I don't think you're going to see 12. Might see 20.
No,
false.
Oh, I hate these questions. I'll say false. Holy smokes. Back.
Can we get to the next question?
Gladly.
Who wrote that? Was that written by friends of BPI? Was that question written?
What's wrong with that question? What was wrong with it?
Well, you know, I think that we've heard better.
Fair enough.
Voice of victory.
Right. Might not like this one either then because it's the last one. Clemson Pro Day comes up after us featuring some very notable Clemson stars, not the least of which is Travis Etienne. True or false, of all the departing stars for Clemson, Etienne will be the most difficult to replace for the Tigers next season.
I'm going to say true.
I would say true. I'd like to hedge it a little bit, but I'll go ahead and say true. Yeah, true. He did a lot more than people think, and it might not have been the year people thought he was going to have, but, man, just think about how many times Clemson needed something to happen, and nine was making it roll, right? I think he's going to be a major player at the next level, by the way. A major player.
On the right team, he will be.
Because the game – well, and that's it. The game for certain organizations is morphing toward his skill set on the NFL side. So, Yeah, he's going to be fun to watch.
You know why I hedged answering true on that? Because of what I heard at the scrimmage this week. I wasn't there, but I know some folks that saw some stuff. And there's some freshmen that you're going to hear about this fall, and you're going to go, who are those guys? And they run the football.
Yeah.
And no, they're freshmen. Right. And there's more than one of them. So, pro day, 10 o'clock today. 10 a.m. this morning. A little football before your hoops.
That's
what we got for you on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.